Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
There can't be a definitive plan. A month is a long time in a pandemic. So says Colm Henry, who's chief clinical officer at the HSE. And he was talking at the briefing this afternoon. One of the key topics under discussion was the vaccination programme, the supply, the priorities and the rollout. I'm joined now by Priscilla Lynch, who's clinical editor of the Medical Independent, by Independent TD, Cathal Berry, and also by Anthony Staines, who's Professor of Health Systems at DCU. I might turn to you, Priscilla Lynch, first of all, just about the briefing this afternoon. They gave an update of how the vaccination programme is going in terms of the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccines. So how is it going right at the moment?
Well, it is going better, I suppose, than the kind of the slow start that we had on the 30th of December. It's a huge logistical challenge. But as of this morning, we had given 77,303 doses of COVID-19 vaccine, primarily to frontline healthcare workers, over 69,000 of that figure. And then the remaining just under 8,000 was to people who are resident in long-term care facilities or staff there. So we are ramping up the programme. We're doing over 40,000 doses this week, and they're hoping to bring that up to 47,000 doses next week. But I suppose it was also confirmed that we have only administered just under half of the amount of vaccine that we've had delivered at the moment.
And why is that?
Again, the logistics of it and bringing it in, and it has to be frozen at minus 70 degrees, and then you have to, a certain amount of time to defrost it, and that it can be used and stored in a fridge. And then once you actually reconstitute it from the vials, it has to be used in a certain number of hours. Okay. So they are making sure that they're
not
wasting any of it.
So the process itself is slow. And in terms of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, what's the latest word on that?
Well, it hasn't been licensed yet in Europe, but it is hoped that we will have it licensed by the end of the month. And that vaccine is seen as the game changer in Ireland because it is much easier to distribute and administer because it can be stored at normal fridge temperatures. And Leo Varadkar told The Dáil today that, that if that is licensed at the end of this month, as hoped, then that will ramp up our vaccination programme significantly, that we can double the amount of vaccines that we can give. So he would estimate that we can give 100,000 doses of the vaccine a week to people, and that we can open up mass vaccination clinics, and that it can be administered by GPs, GP practice nurses and pharmacists.
Okay, so they're saying the AstraZeneca is a game changer, because I also heard that Johnson & Johnson, that vaccine would also be a huge boost to the system. Was there any mention of that today?
Not that I'm aware of. They just gave a brief update saying that there are other vaccines that are being looked at as well. I suppose we keep hearing about the three lead vaccines at the moment, the two messenger RNA ones, which is the Pfizer BioNTech one and the Moderna one, and then obviously the third one, which is the Oxford one. But there are a lot of other vaccines in development as well. They are just a few months behind. There's even vaccines that are being developed that can be given intranasally, so just that you spray up the nose, and some vaccines are being looked at that whether one dose would be enough. So there is a lot of development there, but pressure is on given the third surge of COVID-19 across the world and indeed in Europe. People want access to vaccines as quickly as possible. So we have been increasing our orders through Europe for the Pfizer vaccine because it is licensed, the Moderna one if possible, and again looking at the Oxford one. So it is a very fluid situation at the moment, and it is hard to give a definitive answer. But as we know at the moment, we have started our vaccination programme. We're giving it to frontline healthcare workers. The next priority group are those who are living and working in our nursing homes, and we are increasing our supply of the vaccine as it does increase, and the HUC is happy with the amount of supply that it is getting from Pfizer at the moment, which is enabling it to plan so it doesn't have to hold on to as many vaccines as it does, because that is one of the reasons that we haven't administered all of the stock that we do at the moment, because if you do get your first dose of the vaccine, you have to get it 3 weeks later, the second dose. So they wanted to make sure that they had enough there to do that, but they are confident with the supply now, so they are going to reduce that buffer.
Stay with me if you don't mind for a second. I want to turn to Cathal Berry, the Independent TD. You're welcome to the programme, Cathal, because you have received the vaccine because you were administering the vaccine yourself in nursing homes, and well done on that, I suppose. What was your experience, though, of administering the vaccine? Is it a cumbersome one, as they say?
Well, I suppose overall the experience is very, very positive. I'm working with a community health team in Dublin, North Kildare and Wicklow, and when we do show up to the nursing homes, there is quite a celebratory atmosphere, and we're dealing with a generation of people who've lived through TB, who've lived through measles, several epidemics in the past, and they recognise the importance of vaccines. So when they do eventually get vaccinated, as you've probably heard the phrase, the only side effect they experience is one of gratitude and one of relief. So it's a very, very positive experience, to be fair.
Yeah. And can you shed any light as to why it's all so slow at the beginning?
There's a number of reasons. Well, first of all, we're focusing on a particular cohort and a generation of people who are in their 80s, 90s, and some people that we vaccinated were over 100. So it does take a little bit longer from that perspective. Particularly from a consent point of view, if the patient has dementia. So you're looking at issues there and explanation issues that just take a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Look, I guess the other thing is this is a brand new project that the HSC has been asked to create at very short notice. So they're trying to fly a plane and build a plane at exactly the same time. And this pathway, this strand of mass vaccination, that's happening concurrently with two other pathways, which is the COVID testing hubs and also the contact tracing pathway as well. So there's three simultaneous pathways external to the HSC that didn't even exist 12 months ago that are now in full swing. So I'd be much more understanding and tolerant of the vastness of the project that the HSC is taking on board than other people maybe.
Would you? Yeah, because I know Paul Reid of the HSC was asked about your own comment in the Dáil saying the IT systems were not really up and running and that people were using pen and paper in nursing homes to record vaccinations. He was asked about that. He said spreadsheets are being used and uploaded to the HSC main system. And I think he said that was what was always envisaged for nursing homes. Is that what's happening?
So from a nursing home perspective, I suppose more accurately, The hospital IT system is working fine. The GP system has been up and running since Tuesday. It's really when you go to the remote sites, like nursing homes, that's where there's issues from a Wi-Fi perspective, from a tech support perspective. So when you go to more remote and more rural settings, obviously the IT support won't actually be there. But pen and paper is perfectly fine. Pen and paper is much better than no vaccine. And I think Dr. Mike Ryan in the WHO said it perfectly, that never wait for perfection. Our job is to put as much vaccine from the shelf into people's shoulders at best safe speed, and you can tidy up the administration afterwards later on that evening or the following days. That's no problem at all.
Yeah, I don't want you to lose me on detail here, but I was listening to Dr. Colm Henry of the HSE, and he said at the briefing this afternoon, he said, we're lucky to get a sixth dose out of the vial, and we could potentially get a seventh dose out of the vial, he said. Now, that would increase and extend coverage. I mean, is that possible based on what you know and your experience of it?
So, yeah, the medicine comes in a very small vial and there's a very small substance inside there. It's all down to what type of needle to use and the experience of the person reconstituting or diluting the vaccine. So I've got 5 out of some vials at the start, but as I got more experience, I got up to 6. To 6, and then I've got 7 in the last few days as well. So 5, 6, or 7 is available, and it's all down to, I suppose, the nuances of whether there was a small bit of spillage or whether there was a small bit of a leak, but you can get up to 7.
Okay, so it's about your own experience as a practitioner and your precision in using the vial. So I suppose it begs the question, if we had an awful lot more vaccinators up to speed and trained before now, we could get 6, possibly 7 doses out of the vial.
In theory, yes. But there's other factors at play as well. I mean, it depends on the size of the needle you use, for instance, whether you use a green or a blue. But experience, it doesn't matter how experienced the vaccinators are, they need to be experienced in this particular medication, okay, this particular vaccine and this particular vial.
Okay. Look, well explained. Thank you very much indeed. Look, Carl Berry, thank you. I might move on to Anthony Staines, Professor Anthony Staines, for just a moment, who's a Professor of Health Systems in DC. You're welcome to the programme, Professor Staines. I mean, you've heard maybe some of the news coming out of the HSC briefing this afternoon. They're going to vaccinate GPs, begin that programme this weekend. They say the IT portal is up and running and live, and they're looking at the priority list again. Now, they're making adjustments as they go along. Are you happy that their target of vaccinating 4 million people by the end of September, that's realistic at this stage?
I think it's a realistic target if there are no problems with supply, which they can't control. I mean, that's just the truth. It is embarrassing that they're still uploading spreadsheets in 2021. That suggests the IT system really needs to be looked at again.
I think that's just in some nursing homes, I think, yeah.
At least it works. That's the most important thing. I mean, the perfect is really the enemy of the good here. The reality is that this will take till the autumn, and we do not get our lives back, our economy back, until the autumn, unless the government makes a decision that they want to eliminate the virus in our country.
And that means
we will have a couple more lockdowns.
You reckon we will, even with the vaccination program?
Yes, there's evidence from Brazil that unless the rate of coverage of vaccine is well over 60%, and we think 80% is the required level, that you can get major outbreaks of COVID. And that has already happened.
But hang on a second because we have a target of 700,000 people to be vaccinated by the end of March, and they would be the most vulnerable groups, I think. And then that would increase quickly to over 1 million at the start of summer, one would imagine, if it's to, and the program would accelerate in pace and coverage as more vaccines come on stream and more doses arrive and more vaccinators are available and more centres are opened up for mass inoculation. Now, surely if that level of inoculation happens in the country, we can lift restrictions with great reassurance.
No, unfortunately, no. I mean, that's the hard part to wrap your head around. You have enough people unvaccinated to support a substantial epidemic, a large number of cases, a large number of sick people, mm-hmm. until you get 80% coverage.
There's
a reason for that, which is...
Yeah, I'm crestfallen, yeah. Auntie. Go on ahead and I'll try my pushback in just a second.
It would make anyone crestfallen, but we've understood this about infectious diseases for about 70 years. So this is not new. It's why we can't control measles even at 92% vaccination coverage. Mm. But if we get to 95%, we can. That 3% gap is enough for the virus to creep through and cause cases and cause illness and cause sickness and occasionally death. Most years.
But can I ask you, if we have enough of the population, especially the vulnerable groups, vaccinated, surely then the people who get sick won't get very, very sick, and it'll pass like statistically, most people get a bad flu, isn't that right?
There's two answers to that. One is that about 10% of everyone who gets it seems to be left with quite nasty long-term symptoms. And we don't know yet how long-term, mm-hmm. but significantly disabling. The second thing is that vulnerable group are the people who are least likely to be protected. Even if we give them a vaccine and it's an effective vaccine and a good vaccine, they are the people least likely to have a good response to the vaccine. So of the vulnerable people, a proportion of them, despite our best efforts, will still be susceptible because their immune systems don't work. I've had a transplant. I'm on immunosuppressive drugs. That's not good for your immune system. One of my friends had a bone marrow transplant. That's not good for your immune system. If you're elderly with complex illness, among other things, become weaker. Okay. And you may not mount a protective response. COVID, and that's the problem.
Okay, so you say, and you're an expert in this field, that even with this vaccination program, even if it's on target, we'll have rolling lockdowns until the autumn. On that crestfallen note, we'll leave it there. Professor Anthony Sains, thank you very much indeed. Beforehand, independent TD Cathal Berry, and also Priscilla Lynch.